definition of the word phenomenon. He has never released a single, but his music has been spreading like wildfire online. He's all the way from Suffolk in England. He plays the guitar, and this is his first time on American television, and he's very late, which may explain why he's looking rather hot and panicky. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jack Malik! It's great to meet you. Thank you for being here. Have your paths crossed before? Do you know Roxanne?
No, we've never met before, but it's really nice to meet you. I'm a big fan.
Nice meeting you. Me too.
Thinking you could write something right now.
Beg your pardon?
It could be about Roxanne. Even the whole blushing scenario we had earlier on. What do you think? Something great.
Something great. Yeah, I can try.
Oh, yes! This is great!
Have you got a guitar?
Can we have a guitar? I think we've got a guitar. There should be a guitar.
Yeah!
Hello, Roxanne.
Hi.
James.
Rocky.
Something in the way she moves attracts me like no other lover. Something in the way she woos me. I don't want to leave her now. You know I believe in how.
Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles podcast with Dave and Chris, and we've got a double feature.
Wait,
for
you. Who are the Beatles?
Oh.
what are you talking about, Dave?
I'm sorry. That's right. I've never heard of that group. I'm not sure who they are. Yeah. Yes, you say, so by the introduction and from Chris's introductory joke there, you know what we're going to be talking about in our double feature in the latest episode of Put 'Em in the Movies, one of our series all about Beatle films and Beatle-related films. And we're going to be talking about one that just premiered along during the summer, but just came out recently on DVD and Blu-ray, and then also actually another one that did the same. So two recent releases.
That's right. So we're going to be talking about the 2019 film Yesterday a little bit later, but we're going to start out talking about a real good documentary that has been available. You can rent it, or you can actually watch it on Netflix. It is available on Netflix. Some people don't have Netflix. It's out for rental now, and it's out on DVD, and that is John and Yoko, Above Us Only Sky. DVD out. DVD is only $11.99, Dave.
That's pretty cheap. That's
pretty cheap.
Yeah.
No, and doesn't look like it's got a lot of extra features, if any. No. Blu-ray $17.96, so I'd go with Netflix there.
I think you might as well. And they're both pretty important releases for the year. And Yesterday is the one that got a lot more press because of the plot, because of the director, because it was a mass market movie. And
and a hit.
And a big hit. And we're going to get into some of the backstory and some of the controversy and other things that came up around it. But first, as Chris said, we're going to get into the Imagine. It's another Imagine-related documentary. If you remember, there was the Gimme Some Truth video.
Yeah.
That was another one from that period. And Imagine John Lennon. So that seems to be a theme. But a lot of that's because most of the footage that we know about or we have of John is from that period when he was in Tittenhurst Park and was kind of post-Beatles there. And it's, I don't know about you, but for me, the treat of this film is just seeing all of the footage of John and Yoko and George Harrison and all the other people in it. It's just amazing and kind of just touching and striking in a lot of ways, too.
A lot of good interviews in it. you do get Yoko, you get Julian Lennon.
Yeah.
Prominently featured. We'll hear a little clip with Julian Lennon in it. And you get some other people. Of course, Elliot Mids makes an appearance.
Of course he does.
One of our faves to talk about. You know, at first when this came out, Dave, I had just bought the DVD, which had Gimme Some Truth and the Imagine film on it.
Yes,
And watched that a few times. And, of course, we had the Imagine Ultimate Extended Mix Raw Studio stuff that we'd, you know, been reviewed last year, and we'd been very good package, very, very excellent package.
Yes.
So I sort of was like a little bit kind of like, do we need another John Lennon movie?
Yeah, especially from the same period.
Set in the same period.
Yeah.
And then I watched, so I didn't watch it for a while, and then I watched it, and I was like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I watched it. Does it cover a lot of the same ground? Sure. But it gives you a lot of context that is not in the Gimme Some Truth is just a kind of fly on the wall kind of like thing. I found that the interviews here were very helpful to give context to Gimme Some Truth. So I would say if you've not watched any of them, watch this one first.
Yeah.
Then watch Gimme Some Truth, and then maybe watch some of Imagine if you're stoned.
There you go. Good advice. To me, the film is it's kind of in two parts. Or you have a lot of the rare footage, which is of John, and I think this is probably of most interest to most Beatle fans, is all of the in the studio stuff and seeing John recording a lot of clips that I've definitely never seen, and I think most people had never seen him acting pretty normal, I'd say, like pretty relaxed. He's always kind of relaxed with jeans and having tea and chatting with people. Phil Spector, of course, makes an appearance. A lot of just all the studio musicians, and I think that, to me, was really fascinating, just to see them running through the tunes and talking about him.
He's talking to George, and he's playing How?
Yeah, and Oh My Love.
And Oh My Love, and he's just playing them to him, like, for the first time, probably.
Yeah.
And just sort of, like, relaxed. You know, it goes like that, and then maybe you'd do something here.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes to nice scene of that raw studio footage of George coming up with that Oh My Love beautiful lick.
Yeah.
Starts out Oh My Love. Another electric scene, and we mentioned this when we were talking about Gimme Some Truth, and it's probably why Gimme Some Truth is called Gimme Some Truth, is Gimme Some Truth.
Yeah. That's the song.
Which is just like amazing footage of him singing. We'll go out, play some of Give Me Some Truth from the Imagine Ultimate Collection. I wanted to play a few clips, though, here from the film. Here is a clip. The other part, interrupting. We're saying there's a second element to the film.
So after, I don't know how long, a good maybe half the film or so, you start to see a lot more of Yoko, and a lot more of the talking heads are discussing John and Yoko's relationship. There's kind of an overview of her whole artistic career and her life, really, going back to when she was a kid. And I think the point they're trying to make, that you hear all the people in the film talking about, is how influential Yoko was on John, not only as a conceptual artist, but also on his songwriting and as a muse, and kind of an important figure, which we all know, but they really make it clear. It's quite evident that she gets her due in this film.
Yeah. And I've found that both just people who have been reviewing this film and just general fans have bristled a little bit at that.
Mm-hmm.
That they're calling it, like, this is a 4-star movie review. But the title of it is Yoko Ono rewrites John Lennon's legacy with John and Yoko above us, only sky.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of, and if you read the review, it's sort of implying like, you know, well, how would we take it if Cynthia Lennon claims co-writing credit on She Loves You just because they were in love at the time? And I don't think that that's fair. I buy it that she had some major influence in John's work being Yoko. And why I buy it is because the footage is there.
They're
showing us footage of him coming over and her being, her sort of like gently being like, well, why don't you do this here? You know? And they just seem to always be collaborating on what they're doing.
Yeah.
Just sort of like gently kind of without a lot of fanfare, kind of working through the songs together.
Mm-hmm.
So I buy that she should be given a little bit of credit. And I also buy it because now, you know, of course we always say that, you know, some of what John says in interviews you can't take seriously. But John has said in interviews, like, well, I should have given her credit on some of these songs, but I'm too, my ego's too big.
Too macho.
And I'm too macho and, you know, to do that. So
yeah.
I don't know. How do you feel about it?
I think it's complicated.
I
definitely, you can see a lot of very touching footage between the two of them in the film. And of course we know all the positive things that happened between them and the fact that Yoko was a huge influence. But I think also a few times they really stretch, or they try to maybe raise it a little bit more than it was. At least the conceptual art, like Yoko's artistic work, which is really kind of separate from John. And to me, the film goes off a little bit on a tangent with that, kind of takes away from the whole Imagine idea and let's show Cut Piece and let's show some of the other Yoko works, which are interesting and important in their time, but I'm not sure they fit in this film that well. But the actual influence on Imagine is very good and I think important.
The other thing I think this does well is I do think some of these interviews are pretty good, and I wanted to play a couple clips of one's an interview and one's a sort of contextualizing a story about a Vietnam vet. So let's play the Vietnam vet thing first. Apparently this guy Claudio just was like, I'm coming over. And it's just interesting how John dealt with this. So let's hear a clip from the movie talking about this.
Diana said to me one morning, we just got this telegram and it says, hi, I'm coming and I'll be there soon. Signed, Claudio. And everybody said, well, he can't get here. And I said, no, I'm not so sure. And lo and behold, he turned up at the gate. This was a shell-shocked Vietnam veteran, a young man from I think he'd been in a hospital in the San Francisco area, and he was about to be released.
Don't confuse the songs with your own life. I mean, they might have relevance to your own life, you know, but a lot of things do.
And we went through a number of things. The police wanted to arrest him, and John said, don't hurt him.
And then I had this guy called Claudio saying, I'm coming. And I only have to look in your eyes and then I'll know. So last week he turned up at the house, you know.
He was obviously very, very infatuated by John. And he sent a lot of letters. And some of the time he thought he was John. But he also desperately wanted to meet him.
So we met, you know, I'm just a guy, man, who writes songs. We can only say hello, and what else is there?
Yeah, I figured that if we met, I'd know, you know, just by reading.
But know what?
You know, if what I was thinking was true.
Well, what were you, is it true?
Well, I guess not.
Right, I'm just a guy, man.
I'm just a guy, man.
Yeah. Pretty good clip there. I like that, and it goes on for a while. It's an extended thing, and he eventually brings him in and gives him some food.
Right.
Sits there and eats with him, you know. So to show. And two reasons I thought this was striking was, one is like, well, we know what happened to John in the end.
You can't help but think about that.
So there's, it's like these disturbing people throughout his life that he, you know, he's treating this guy with a lot of kindness and care. And reports from Mark David Chapman are like, he was like, well, he was so nice earlier, mm-hmm. I almost didn't do it.
I know.
So,
and that's the thing I think about John, is that behind that tough exterior and behind the real sarcastic, sometimes nasty guy, this film I think shows a lot more of the real Lennon, and he was pretty, I would say, down to earth and compassionate in a lot of ways. And I don't know if, you know, of the times he wasn't, he had drugs were involved or alcohol or, you know, that stuff. So,
well, he's much, much less compassionate to the studio technician.
Well, there's that. Yeah.
Because there's like a clip of him just like absolutely berating. I forget who I didn't quite catch who he was berating, but
yeah, that was a bad
scene. Like, no, that's the wrong part. What are you doing? You know,
ruining the whole thing. Yeah.
One other clip I want to play, and this is David A. Ross, who's someone who knows a lot about art, and Julian Lennon. Have you heard of Julian Lennon?
Yes, I have. he makes quite like you said, a lot of appearances in there, and there are great clips of him as a kid running around Tittenhurst Park.
Yeah. So this is the two of them talking about Imagine, and I just think the song, and I just think that they have a lot of very interesting, thoughtful things to say about you know, the impact of one amazing song. So let's hear this clip.
Imagine what it means if we could get rid of all the labels, all the categories, all the things that divide us, and imagine that. Because that's the way to peace. It is that first you have to see it. You have to be able to imagine that. And the role of the imagination, not just in art, but in being a complete human being.
A brotherhood of man.
He's not shoving it down people's throats. This is what I admire. And it's not, you know, it's not religious, it's not political, it's just humanity and life.
To imagine something is not a passive experience. That if you want the kind of world that's expressed in that song, you have to do something about it. It was a demonstrable call to action. And the world will live as
one. You had to get some Elliot Mintz in there.
I didn't mention Elliot Mintz. Everyone who knows Elliot Mintz would recognize that voice. So, Above Us Only Sky, available on Netflix and DVD and Blu-ray and, you know, digital renting and all that kind of stuff. So, I give it a thumbs up. I think it's a pretty much a must-watch if you're a John Lennon fan.
Absolutely, I agree. And I think just the footage alone is... it makes you miss John, I think, and makes you really... You see him so young and vibrant, and it's... Yeah, I mean, like we've said a couple times, you can't help but be clouded by knowing what happens, and it's just very sad. So it's great to see this film with all the footage and some interesting interviews and stuff with Yoko's contributions, too.
It also did a good job, I think, of like showing like a period of time and how that period ended.
Yeah.
It sort of ended with the, you know, when he did... moved to New York, basically.
Yeah, the political stuff, right?
So it's captures a great time, and I think I don't think there's much more juice to squeeze in the Imagine.
No,
You know, it's like we got everything we could get now.
And don't forget the big book too that came out as well. Yeah. So I think they've opened the vault entirely on that one. So
yeah, moving along now to a movie I saw in theaters. In its completion. And what happened to you, Dave?
Well, I too saw it in a theater. However, it was on one of the hottest days of the year in Kansas City. And about literally halfway through the movie, everything just turned off. And there were 12 people in the movie theater with me. And we're just sitting there. And we see the emergency light come on. And then some guy from the theater says, "Well, power's out. I don't think they're going to get it back on." And so then we all got up and left, and so that was it. So I hate to admit this on a podcast where we have information and education here, but I didn't do my full homework here and sit through the rest of it. However, I did read plenty, and I've watched a lot of the clips. I know what happened, so I can at least give you that. So, it was a crazy experience.
Well, we're going to give you a mostly spoiler-free discussion about this, and then at some point I'm going to give you the old heads up. And if you haven't seen this movie, you probably should stop listening at that point and just join us next time. But this is the movie we're talking about is Yesterday, film directed by Danny Boyle. You know Danny Boyle, right? He's directed Trainspotting. He's directed Slumdog Millionaire, was one of his big ones. Yep. 127 Hours, the movie Steve Jobs. And Yesterday, and a few other films.
Oh, high profile.
And it's also written by Richard Curtis. Richard Curtis, great British writer who's written a lot of things like Notting Hill, Four Weddings and a Funeral, Love Actually, Bridget Jones, a few movies like that. So got all the people that you want if you're taking on something like this. Stars a relatively unknown guy named Himesh Patel. I think that's Himesh, not okay. Hamish. Like Hamish Stewart, right?
Yes, friend of the show.
And he plays this struggling musician, Jack Malik, who has an accident.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And after the accident, we'll just go right into the clip. After the accident, he's busted a couple teeth out, and his friends buy him a guitar, and they're like, play us something nice. And so Jack starts playing the song Yesterday. So let's hear the clip, and we'll hear their reaction to the clip.
Great guitar requires a great song. Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it seems as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
Go on.
Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday.
What the hell was that?
Yesterday.
That was one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's a bit soppy. Yeah, so there's the big twist.
Yep.
It's a one of these magical powers movies where something weird happens and then nobody remembers the Beatles except for this guy Jack.
Yeah, there was that weird sudden power outage. Everything just goes away.
That's so weird that a power outage happened to you during this
during
film.
The power outage.
Were you half thinking when you left that no one would know the Beatles?
Yeah, sort of.
Or felt Charles. Like... What if no one remembered Charles Ives, Dan?
my worst nightmare coming true. Yeah, it felt like that. So that so that clip basically gives you the plot line, and then the whole lot of hijinks ensue, and we have some. Do you want to some of the stars or the cameos or appearances? That certainly the most notable, I'd say, is Ed Sheeran, who.
Yeah, Ed Sheeran appears as himself, and not just appears, but is in a lot of the movie.
Yes,
and it's surprising. You also get Lily James. She plays Ellie, mm-hmm. the our main love, manager, and then eventually love interest.
Yep.
Which I don't think is a spoiler alert. It's like from moment one,
yes,
you're
you
like,
can tell.
Oh,
yeah.
She's really into him. Kate McKinnon is also a film from Kate McKinnon of SNL fame, and she plays Deborah Hammer. Anyway, so because no one remembers the Beatles, eventually he goes and starts playing Beatles songs for people, and he becomes very popular.
And passing them off as his own.
So let's play one more clip of him playing a Beatles song here. And this is right when he starts recording. They're like, I like that song. Let's record your songs. Do you have any? And he's like, well, a few others. And so here's a clip of him playing I Want to Hold Your Hand.
One or two.
Oh, yeah. Tell you something. I think you'll understand. When I say that something, I want to hold your hand.
All right, so there's a little of I Want to Hold Your Hand from Himesh Patel,
mm-hmm.
From the movie Yesterday. Now, Dave, I want to ask you a couple questions about this film. I know you didn't see the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
but what did you think of the music in it?
Well, I'm usually pretty skeptical of a lot of cover songs, and like another movie that we're going to talk about, that's the name of it is a famous John Lennon song. That was about 10 years ago. I did not like some of the covers in that one. I actually like his voice, Patel. I think his covers are good, and I particularly like in the scene with Ed Sheeran, they have a kind of a songwriting competition, and he sings The Long and Winding Road. I think it's very good, and I like his cover versions. I think his voice works well. He actually plays and sings, which I appreciate. He's not lip syncing, and I like him. I think they're pretty good.
Yeah, I do too. I think my issue with the film is a total, and I've seen some other reviews that sort of mirror this. Is it sort of like if we just did karaoke Beatles? Is it as great? Like, would people react to it as amazingly as they did to the Beatles? Something about the alchemy of the four Beatles together is missing.
Yes.
And replaced with sort of like, even though he's a great singer and the music sounds good and it eventually gets production and Kate McKinnon comes in as the manager and puts some real, we've got a star here. Let's get you on TV and that kind of stuff.
Right.
And then he blows up into a big worldwide sensation. Would that really happen? I would guess not.
No. That's a fair point. It'd be kind of like if just Paul McCartney or John Lennon became famous, and without the rest of them. They're great songwriters, but definitely the Beatles. One of the biggest reasons for their success is their relationship, and you think of them as the four and their chemistry together and their package. So
exactly,
And to have one guy. I mean, who would be a comparison? Somebody like Elvis, but Elvis didn't really write songs. But some solo guy
Yeah.
I guess would be a comparison, but would anybody be quite like that? I don't think so.
Yeah. And in one of the deleted scenes, this all takes place in modern day. Right. So one of the deleted scenes, he's doing a concert. He's supposed to open for Ed Sheeran in Russia. But a lot of problematic things about that whole thing, including that are like Ukraine girls, and then there's Ukraine girls that are like, woo, as if like Ukraine and Russians are like hanging out and all
good
happy
friends.
Right,
yeah.
Now. But they.
Remember, this is stretching our suspending our disbelief.
Our disbelief. Maybe right. In this alternate timeline, that there's parallel universe, really.
Right.
Because there's other things that come up. And in fact, the alternate ending, something comes up where another famous thing never existed, except she remembers it, not him. And I won't give that away in case you want out there. You want to watch the DVDs and Blu-rays. But anyway, he's in Russia, and then they're singing, and then he's like, "Oh, I know what to do," and then he starts singing "Back at the USSR."
Yep.
Right. And everybody's really into it. I'm like, would they be into it? It's not the U.S. I don't know that they'd be like that into back in the U.S. Plus, they didn't like whatever he was playing before that. So
yeah.
It was very weird.
Yeah.
Very strange. Maybe that's why that scene was cut. But all that said, generally, I liked it. I thought, oh, it's a romantic comedy. It's fun. And there's a lot of Beatles songs sung pretty well. And the main actor and the main actress are nice actors.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an enjoyable time at the movies. I didn't walk out of there like depressed or anything.
No.
You know? Like, or they really blew it. You know?
Not at all. I mean, you're much more of a film guy than I am. What were the reviews like, or when people complained about the film or didn't like it? Because I know there was a lot of grumbling about things, and that's when I went and saw it. I waited a while because I thought, oh well, you know, a lot of people online are saying bad things, and maybe it's not so good. But what do you remember were some of the criticisms of it, besides the whole premise of it?
Well, on Rotten Tomatoes, it got 63%. That's the tomato meter. Which is not bad.
Yeah.
It's still fresh.
Yeah.
And then the audience score, 89%. So so received very well for the audience. Here's a couple of the negative reviews just to show. Okay, here's Adam Graham from Detroit News. He didn't like it. He said, "Give Yesterday credit for taking a sideways approach to honoring the Beatles, but this boomer fantasy only pretends to dive into a true appreciation of what made the group a once-in-a-lifetime phenomenon." But generally, the reviews are generally positive, and the negative reviews seem to be like they didn't hate it.
No.
So even though it got 63, it's not 100% thumbs up Rotten Tomatoes.
Right.
The reviews that didn't like it are kind of had some issues with it.
Yeah,
you know, or thought it was a little sappy, which it is a sappy.
Oh, film. Definitely, yeah.
All that said, one measure of success is financial. budget for this film, $26 million, grossed $73.3 million just in the United States and Canada.
Wow,
$72.6 million in other territories. That means out of $26 million, they got $145.9 million.
That's good investment on a return on investment there for sure.
And that's not even taken into account. It is now on Blu-ray and DVD.
Right.
Blu-ray is like around $23, DVD's $18, also on HD Blu-ray. And it, unlike the other one we talked about, has a lot of special features. There's a Ed Sheeran from stadium to screen. You're Ed Sheeran. Are you a big Ed Sheeran guy, Dave?
I used to hear his songs at the gym all the time, and so I got very tired of them. So I thought he was okay in this movie. He was a little pretentious, but he was okay. It was all right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at one point he suggests that they call it "Hey Dude."
Yes. Yes. Dude. Not "Hey Grand Dude."
Yeah. Oh.
Oh.
Also, agent of comedy Kate McKinnon. So that's probably just an interview with Kate McKinnon.
Mm-hmm.
Live at Abbey Road Studios. So that's Hamish playing the songs. more Beatles music performed by Himesh Patel, and then alternate ending and deleted scenes, 23 minutes worth, one of which we started the podcast with. And I think what happened was they added in this sort of like story where both he and her, she starts dating the guy who recorded their demo, and but it's just not quite clicking, and she's still longing for him. And then he's, while he's singing Yesterday, there's a actress on the couch there, and it seems like, oh, maybe he's gonna like go out with her. So they took out this like secondary, we're not sure if the lovers are gonna end up with each other stuff.
Yeah,
and a couple more songs, like I said, that just didn't pop as much as the rest of it did. But you know, for deleted scenes, pretty solid. And yeah, to get 23 minutes of deleted scenes is great. Now, here is the spoiler alert, guys. So if you don't want to find out the little twist that happens towards the end, tune away now. But I'm going to reveal it here. Thanks for listening to those of you leaving the podcast. Okay, so here's the spoiler. Is that at some point he finds out. I don't know what led to this. I don't quite remember.
No, that wasn't really explained too well.
But you see him driving way out in the country, and he comes up near a lake.
Yeah.
He pulls up and knocks on the door, and there is John Lennon, a living old John Lennon.
Yeah.
And then he has a nice little talk with John Lennon. Let's play a clip from that.
Hello? Can I help?
I don't know. Are you John?
That's right.
From Liverpool?
That's right.
It's an honour to meet you. John.
Yeah.
Have you had a happy life?
Very.
But not successful.
But you said very happy. That means successful. Did the job I enjoyed day after day. Sailed the world. Fought for things I believed in. And won. A couple of times. Found a woman I loved. Fought hard to keep her too. Lived my life with her.
Fought hard for her.
A bit complicated. Sorry, what's your name?
Jack.
There were complications, young Jack. Loss and gain. Prejudice and pride. But it all turned out just fab. How's your love life?
Bad.
That was a big, I remember when the reviews came out or people talking about it, they said that was one of the most surprising twists that they'd seen, or that definitely was unexpected. And since you saw it in full, what was your reaction when you saw that?
I thought it was both unexpected and kind of brilliant, and made you think like a bunch of things, like, oh, I guess it is fame that, you know, what if John had never gotten famous? Would he have been happier? You know,
he sort of
the character says he had a happy life, you know.
Yeah.
Even though it didn't seem to be with anyone. So
no,
him and he never even met Yoko. Who knows?
No.
So, by the way, I didn't know this until I was researching for the podcast here. But John Lennon, played by Robert Carlyle, the actor who's been in tons of stuff, including Trainspotting,
mm-hmm.
The Full Monty, and you'll know him from all kinds of different things.
Yeah,
like that. So,
do you think he's a realistic John at 78 years old?
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah,
not bad.
Yeah,
he's real makeuped, so I couldn't tell it was him. So, you know, and then there's not any reference to any of the other Beatles or what happened to them. So that was kind of, so it was kind of puzzling that they did that. But you know, there it's a plot point in the movie. He goes, sees John. John gives him a bit of wisdom, and then he tells the girl you love her, that you love her,
and then and so ride off into the sunset together.
He takes it from there. So the other thing I found just a little odd is they don't. There's no fix to it. It's usually in magical, like Big, for instance, is a magical powers where he becomes a boy, becomes big.
Yeah.
Well, you know, at the end of the movie that he's going to go back to being a boy. Mm-hmm. It's not going to stay in that state. And that's how usually these films that have like this big twist of magical things happening. Eventually some or any TV show we've ever seen where somebody loses their memory, like they're going to get their memory back. Well, this doesn't end like that. It ends just like still nobody remembers the Beatles. It's actually a few other people remember the Beatles.
Yeah. Yeah. There's
and they eventually, and you think they're going to be enraged that he's a fraud, but really they're like, thank you for playing Beatles music.
Yeah, keeping it alive.
Yeah. So,
for me, once I got into it and got going and realized that it was a fantasy, and you just kind of roll with it, and I found it enjoyable for the hour that I saw, and then the clips, seeing it later. And if I'm not trying to read anything into it, it's not. I'm not looking at it like I watch a serious movie. So for me, I thought it was a good summer kind of movie and well worth seeing.
Yeah. Have you seen Rocket Man, Dave? I haven't seen Rocket Man.
No, I'm actually behind on both one of those biopics of the Freddie Mercury one and Rocket Man. I still haven't seen either of them. So have you seen both?
I saw the Freddie Mercury one. He's good at doing Freddie Mercury. The plot's non-existent.
That's really kind of what I heard. So.
And the Live Aid scene's really good, though. The Live Aid scene's like well done. Mm-hmm. Just skip straight to the Live Aid scene and call it a day.
Yeah.
I heard that the producer that produced that is now getting a Bee Gees movie together.
Ooh,
so
excellent.
Clamoring for the Bee Gees movie. So
excellent.
I don't think this will end. I think all of them have done very well. We gave statistics for it. Oh, plus there's that movie Blinded by the Light.
Yes, that's right, with another British Indian guy who loves Bruce Springsteen and kind of
comes to America to see what America is all about because he loves the boss so much.
Right.
I think we'll get more of these sort of like movies that explore musicians from their older musicians, you know. So anyway. And I like this one, so thumbs up.
Yeah.
To it.
So go check out both of them and like you said, you can watch them on streaming services or you can buy the DVD, Blu-ray, or however you want to see them, rent them from the library, whatever you want to do. But it's good. I think it's good, and I know I read stories that the surviving Beatles were fans of Yesterday. And they had to get approval to use all the songs and remake them and do all of that. So that at least two endorsements from Ringo and Paul.
Yeah, I will say this: I'm not sitting around playing the soundtrack.
No.
So I'd rather give me the real Beatles.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
With that, what we'll do is we'll end episode with the real Beatle, take four of the extended Ross studio mix of Gimme Some Truth, and we'll be back to talk Ringo Starr in our next episode. I'm not sure if it's the next one coming out, but...
We've got Ringo, and then we have a very special interview with a person who was intimately involved with the Beatles, so... That will be fun as well. So a couple good things coming out in the next couple of weeks.
All right. So we'll go out with Gimme Some Truth, and we'll talk to you next time.
Okay, we're going. We're going, Nick.
I'm sick and tired of hearing things from
wanted hip